We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Headlines worth talking about.
Pay attention, you just may learn something here.
Headlines worth talking about.
Headlines worth talking about, brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com, where you can get twice the size engagement ring for half the price. The guys at Kriegel Mesh are diamond wholesalers. They supply all the big box stores, and they sell to the general public as well, and they do it for half the price of those big box stores. So if you're getting engaged, guys, you're looking for that perfect engagement ring, you want to upgrade your wife's current ring, go see the folks at Kriegel Mesh. You can get twice the ring for half the price at Kriegel Mesh.
It's not every day we get to deal with breaking sports news during our show because usually people are nestled in their beds this time.
I always picture Toby Cook of the Royals waking up right about now, enjoying his morning coffee and listening to the show. I don't know why, but I do. Every day at 7 o'clock, I think Toby's getting up right now.
Well, good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Toby.
It's a lovely day.
It's a beautiful day.
And I don't know if you know this, Toby, but this happened today.
So we have a winner for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The member associations of Canada, Mexico, and USA have been selected by the FIFA Congress to host the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Thank you.
There you go, Toby. Mull that over with your eggs and bacon.
Yeah. I like how the guy just goes, thank you, and walks away.
It was really cool when Ryan did the Brandy Chastain around the studio after that announcement happened. Thought he reenacted that pretty well. Good job, Ryan.
Good thing I wear a sports bra every day.
It was fantastic and really, really cool, man. This is exciting because not only is the World Cup coming here, but a joint bid between three countries kind of coming together as one continent. I think that's really, really awesome that we can put our differences aside that we've had over the last couple of weeks and everybody gets together for this bid. It makes a lot of sense. And so 2026, the World Cup is coming to American soil. President Trump weighed in on it today.
I think I did a good job.
Yeah, you did, President. Thank you very much for helping the bid and helping the United States, Canada, and Mexico wrap up that World Cup. Doubling up Morocco in the vote, 134-65 was the final vote total.
Ooh, USA, suck it, Morocco.
USA, USA.
Many of your cohorts have said I won this debate.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you. We will have plenty of World Cup coverage on tap for you today. Live coverage of the press conference scheduled to be from Arrowhead. The KC Sports Commission and Kathy Nelson will have a press conference. We'll have that coverage for you live coming up at 10 a.m. So keep it locked right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Now, the question is, what can we do now?
Right.
From the U.S. release, among other decisions, FIFA will make the final selection of host cities for the 2026 competition from the 23 candidates proposed in the United bid. So
we're not technically a city yet then?
Doesn't sound like it.
Why are we drinking champagne and having press conferences then?
We're celebrating for America. Now I got to figure out how to celebrate for Kansas City.
You mean I had a champagne shower this morning for nothing?
For nothing?
We're a step closer, I believe would be the correct terminology on this.
I feel like I've been led astray.
So we need to lobby FIFA as Kansas City.
What do you need to take a collection?
I don't know. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
What is it, like a Twitter hashtag or
no,
online
no,
voting?
No,
we're really good at that.
There's a GoFundMe.
Yeah. If we could do a Twitter hashtag, we'll win. This.
Yeah. Right. I have started a change.org petition.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. No, for FIFA, you start a GoFundMe. That's how they work. They need
Side
money.
Note, can we start a change.org petition to change the name of Boneless Wings to adult nuggets. Chicken nuggets?
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Because I don't have a problem with you eating them. I just have a problem with the name.
Yeah, that's fine. If you want to call them adult chicken nuggets, I'm more accepting of people eating them than I am when you say, oh, I'm going to have some boneless wings. Why?
Would you sign that petition? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I made the mistake one time. Remember when that horse died on the plaza a couple of years ago with the carriage incident? There was a horse that died.
Sure.
So I signed this whatever petition to make horses safer or whatever. I get inundated with emails now from change.org about every animal petition that is out there. So I'm out of the petition game from the change.org thing.
Cool story.
Thank you.
Last night, there was a bit of an interesting play in the Royals game. I should mention that the Royals did lose last night in extra innings. 5-1, the final. We will give you a chance to call the jam for Royals tickets coming up here in 15 minutes. So there's that. A four-run 10th inning by the Cincinnati Reds. The undoing. I suppose probably was somewhat obvious right there. Ian Kennedy wasn't terrible last night, Bob. He was actually really good.
Yeah.
8 scoreless innings, 3 hits, 5 strikeouts for Ian. So he wasn't the reason.
No, he wasn't.
The lone run coming on a 5th inning Hunter Dozier home run. But this strange play, though, in the 10th is what really all we're talking about today.
And the pitch swung on, grounded back to McCarthy. He got his glove on it. And now there's a rundown in between third and home. Moustakas to Perez. Perez fake throw back to Escobar. And Hamilton got around the tag. Billy Hamilton looked like he was out. And he got around Escobar's tag. And now the Royals think that he was out of the baseline. It was a ground ball back to McCarthy that literally knocked the glove off of his hand. He looked to second base, hoping for a double play, and the Royals had the infield in. They weren't set up for a double play, so he came to the plate. McCarthy to Perez to Moustakas, back to Perez, back to Escobar, who was running Hamilton down, and then Hamilton just hit the brakes, and Escobar just simply missed him.
Apparently that's not reviewable. Who knew? But also, who doesn't love a good pickle, by the way?
That's great. That is
phenomenal. Nobody yelled pickle, though. I didn't hear any of that.
No.
Ned Yost, though,
I like when the other players drop their gloves and run out to watch it.
Yeah, it was very nice. It was very nice. And they're all, like, chasing back
pickle.
And forth. God, that's one of the greatest scenes in the Sandlot. Either way, Ned Yost, after the game, was asked about it because why isn't it reviewable? It seems like something that should be reviewable, right? In or out of the baseline.
In their judgment, he didn't leave the baseline. I said, well, in my judgment, he did. Could you check with Laz? And Laz was of the same opinion. You don't really have much of an argument there. It's not reviewable, and I haven't looked at the replay.
Ned, if the rule is 3 feet out of the baseline, do you think it should?
Doesn't matter what the rule is. It's what the umpire's judgment is.
Do you think it should be reviewable?
I think there's a lot of things that should be reviewable, but there's a lot of things that could go on that reviewable list. Yes.
That Laz he's referring to, I'm assuming Laszlo from The Buzz?
That's correct. Right, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Also the review umpire.
Laz, former cameraman at Channel 9, I think is actually who he was referring to.
Yeah, so...
Those are really weird because...
Why do we even have this?
Yeah, you want plays to be correct. You don't want to take up a lot of time reviewing said plays, right? Mm-hmm. We're all in that camp. But you want to get things right. And it feels like that, well, Billy Hamilton's just really fast, so he couldn't have been out of the baseline. He just got under that tag.
He was on the grass.
Well, let's take a look. Well, you can't do that. And I feel like it's that parent. Well, why? The kid asking you why? Well, why not? And baseball just says because I said so.
Because I said so. That means the standard parent
review
answer
plays that are questionable.
Makes
that
a lot looks, of sense.
That doesn't pretty, make any sense. Stop making
I mean,
sense.
That looks pretty questionable to me.
I get the balls and strikes. If we reviewed those, we'd be here until Tuesday playing a game. So I understand that. But I don't understand a play like that, not only because it helped determine the outcome of a game, but because it is a questionable call. You want to know if the guy's in or out of the baseline.
Again, we'll have your chance to win Royals tickets coming up 12 minutes from right now.
Of course, Ned will join us at 9, and he said there's a lot of things that should be reviewable. I'm going to ask him what he thinks should be reviewable in baseball right now that's not currently reviewable.
Royals getting back at tonight looking for the split against the Reds. Tyler Molly for Cincinnati, Jason Hamill for the Royals. Vern will have pregame for you starting at 6 o'clock. But the Rams have been ordered to pay former NFL running back Reggie Bush $12.45 million in damages yesterday for a knee injury he suffered in St. Louis in 2015. I don't know if you guys recall the play, but Bush ran out of bounds on a punt return, and he slipped on some concrete. He fell, suffered a torn lateral meniscus, which ended his season. He did sign with Buffalo the next year, but he hasn't played since 2016, so Reggie Bush getting a nice little check.
You know what's interesting about that? The Rams are forced to pay this. And originally, the TWA Dome was mentioned in the lawsuit.
I believe it was
and
the Edward Jones Dome.
Whatever
you know
what
they call that.
And the, it used to be the TWA Dome. And then the Sports Commission of Kansas City and all the leaders of St. Louis, I'm sorry, were involved in this lawsuit.
Okay.
And the judge in St. Louis threw out all the people from the Dome and the Convention and Visitors Bureau and said, no, this is all about the Rams. I like the fact that the judge is getting back at the Rams for moving, because to me, that's not a Rams issue. That's the people who get the Dome ready. They didn't properly ready the Dome, and the judges say, nah, that's on the Rams. Screw you for leaving. You owe him $12.5 million.
Yeah, it feels like that. He had St. Louis's back.
Yeah, well, yeah. The judge definitely took the side of St. Louis in all of this and said, we're throwing everybody out of this deal who has association with St. Louis, and we're putting this all on the Rams. It's correct. Their fault. It's their
them.
Game.
A little bit of news out of the NFL as well. Jamaal Charles scheduled to meet with the New Orleans Saints later today.
Good for him, man. If you can still get a check.
Getting a check, yeah. I was surprised. I hadn't followed Jamaal Charles' news, but I figured after how last season went, he was going to just kind of say this is it.
Yeah, right off into the sunset.
But if someone's going to pay you to give it a try for one more year, I don't tell people to shut it down. Just keep going. Your professional life is very, very short.
Yep.
So I don't begrudge anybody who keeps playing or trying to. And if someone has the interest in you, go for it.
So there have been a couple of headlines around UFC that have made me question the sanity of Dana White. Recently.
Okay.
I question Dana Wright all the time.
Not Dana Wright, Dana White.
Oh.
Different person. I'm gonna keep that joke to myself. Greg Hardy, though, was what? Signed by the UFC.
What?
Dana White gave him a contract for their Tuesday night contender series. So he's not going to fight in the UFC yet. It's on Fight Pass if you ever want to check it out. But Tuesday night contender series, essentially they compete for a shot at a contract in the UFC. Hardy does have 3 straight KOs in his amateur career, all in the first round. The last one, 57 seconds into the first round. So he is finally making use of his ability to punch people in the face, but I don't really know if Dana White is making the right PR call.
No, he's clearly making the wrong PR call. I don't think Greg Hardy should ever do anything again. I think he's a despicable human being.
Odds he gets signed by the XFL when they're around.
I don't think so, Josh. I think, well, first of all, at that time, he's going to be way too old, but I think the XFL clearly wants to change its image. From
we'll
the
see.
First go round.
We'll see. They're going to need players with some cachet.
Yeah, I don't think Greg Hardy has cachet, especially
he has
when
name
he's going to
recognition.
Be that old. Yeah, who's going to see Greg Hardy, though?
Name recognition.
Who's
going to go see a bunch of nondescript players? They're going to have to get names, even if they're those are the types they might have to get, though, Bob.
You do know CM Punk fought in UFC, right?
Those are the types they're going
people
to have to go get. Ones you've heard of. But aren't in the NFL.
I understand that.
Unfortunately.
But I don't think Greg Hardy, like, I don't think any more people are going to go watch a
of course,
game
they might have had some criteria
for Greg
built
Hardy.
In, have they not?
I think they did. Like, if you're
like
a scumbag, you're not
citizen
playing.
Criteria
yeah,
or
they
something.
Did.
We'll
I think
see
they
if
did.
They have to
yeah.
bend on that to actually get some players you've heard of.
Because I don't think Johnny Manziel is eligible for the XFL. Yeah, I think if you've been arrested, you're not allowed to play in the XFL, and I'm kind of good with that.
Kind of good with that, but they're not going to get any players. I have no interest in that league at all.
Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. Guys, if you're going anywhere else for your engagement ring, you're making a mistake. Kriegel Mesh will get you twice the size ring. You'll design it yourself. You'll design it with your fiance. You'll design it together. It will be the perfect ring, and you will pay half the price. Check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
Pat Mahomes' dad checked in with the drive yesterday. We'll hear from OG Patty Cakes.
What is OG? What is this OG you
and
guys keep
call
talking about?
The jam to win Royals tickets. Explain OG to Fesco next.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the morning, powered by the J.
So we have a winner for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The member associations of Canada, Mexico, and USA have been selected by the FIFA Congress to host the 2026 FIFA World Cup. Thank you.
Oh yeah, we're just happy to be part of the bid, eh? Thank you, America. The joint bid between the United States, Canada, and Mexico wins the 2026 World Cup. Breaking news this morning, in case you're just getting up.
All right,
FIFA had their vote. did it on like a tablet. You could vote joint U.S. bid, Morocco, or none of the above. And we won.
Who's the jerk that's going to pick none of the above?
I'm sure there were people that were voting for none of the above. Yeah. No question. Really? Yes, absolutely.
I don't think there were, though, officially, right?
I don't know, but I'm sure somebody
would. I mean, the final vote, 134 to 65. I don't see 134, 65, and 2.
No. Well, maybe nobody did, but I'm sure there people could have.
I abstained.
There was talk going into it yesterday from sources that said, here's the deal. If enough people don't vote for either side, then both of these, you know, bids get kind of thrown out and we're not allowed to bid again for this. So there was a little bit of trepidation going into the day that maybe not enough people would vote and people would abstain, because let's be honest here, the political climate hasn't exactly been the best. I don't know if you've been following the news and things like that. So there was a lot of people that were concerned that now Canada and Mexico and the United States were fighting with each other, that it may not be. So there was some concern that there would be a no vote and we would get tossed out and then, you know, not have the ability to bid again for the 2026 World Cup.
So, and that's down to 23 host sites that they proposed amongst the bid. Kansas City, one of those host sites. Now it's up to FIFA. So I guess we got to lobby FIFA. Ryan's going to start a hashtag. Oh, it's Vote Omar.
Let's start a GoFundMe.
Or what are we going to do?
Yeah, it's change.org.
Yeah. Change.org. You're going to go there? Oh, yeah. Change.org always
please
works.
Don't.
It's time for you to have the opportunity to win Royals tickets. We call the jam with help from the Royals. We play a song. How long that song plays based on how many runs the Royals score. If you know the song, 913-576-7610. Unfortunately, the Royals only got one run last night, which leaves you this.
Oh, I know that one. That one I know.
Okay.
That's a good 1 second song.
It is.
I thought it was good.
It is really good.
Upside, inside, out.
You know that song?
The crazy I did a good life. 913-576-7610.
You're going to get Royals tickets if you know that song. Call in now. Pat Mahomes, the senior version, joined the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. The former Major League Baseball player.
You keep calling him an offensive guard.
That's true. He's an OG. And a RP as well. Right?
Uh-huh. Right-handed pitcher.
I think he was a reliever, though.
Oh, relief pitcher, yes.
RP. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he joined the drive yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. And the elder Mahomes talked about seeing his son be a first-round NFL pick.
It was a surreal feeling. All my life, all his life, I thought he was going to be a baseball player. And you know, and for him to make a decision to go to college to play football and then get the chance to, you know, realize his dream of being in the NFL and then, you know, being in the first round and a top 10 pick was just, you know, cherry on top.
So what happened, I guess? I mean, he certainly had options. He was a good basketball player in high school, a good football player, and a good baseball player. What happened to make him choose football over baseball?
Oh, he fell in love with it. I mean, I think it got to a point where he played baseball so long. He grew up in a MLB clubhouse and been around it all his life and knew the game and he knew it inside and out. And football was something new, and I think it gave him a lot more stuff to learn, and he's very into, you know, wanting to be coached, and it was, like I said, it was a new thing for him, so I just think he fell in love with it, and he's been gung-ho at it ever since.
The elder Pat Mahomes, he did reveal a story in T-ball. He says the first practice in T-ball, Pat Mahomes fielded a ground ball, threw it over to first, and hit the kid between the eyes. That's where he realized the kid had an arm. The coach wanted him to dial it back, and Dad said,
no.
Not dialing it back.
Can't
kid should be able
back.
To catch it.
Yeah.
So I guess he had the arm strength as like a five-year-old.
Perfect.
Which is outstanding. You check out the full interview in the on-demand section at 610sports.com.
Yeah, the World Cup is coming to the United States, and one of the cities that could get some games, Kansas City. Kathy Nelson, president of the Sports Commission, with us here on 610 Sports Radio. Congratulations on this. So, Kathy, where do we stand as Kansas City? Are we getting games? Do we still have to go through a process? What's the word on KC?
So this past year has truly been focused on uniting our three countries and bidding together to get us over the finish line. Now our work begins. We are included somehow, some way in the World Cup when it comes here in 26, but now it's until 2020, we really won't know exactly how each city plays a role. So now it kind of starts our next leg of this bid cycle where we will truly be showcasing Kansas City and what we could do here.
So what are the options?
The focus was being united for a while. Now we're going to fight over it. We're all together until now.
We scammed you guys. Now we're going to battle each other.
Go run for yourself.
That's right.
So you said we'll be involved some way, somehow. So, like, if we don't get games, like, what's going to happen to the other cities that are part of this that may not get games?
So there is that opportunity where you might not host a match. However, there are so many things that are tied to World Cup. There's team base camps for a month. There's media compounds. There's officials training and everything that goes into that. So this is not a 1 week and done. This is a 1 month. But the preparation of years leading up to that. So even if we don't get to hold a match, which would be played at Arrowhead, then we still will have some type of role. Somebody asked me earlier, what are the percentages? I don't know. I don't know that any of us can answer that question right now. I do know that LA and Dallas are planning, you know, they'll have opening matches, or, Canada, Mexico, and the United States will all have an opening match at the same time. And then some of the bigger cities in the United States would host, of course, the finals, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of that in between. So I would tell you, I always feel very positive, and our chances are good. And we're one of 17 cities in the United States. That is such a big deal right now, putting us back on the map to continue to showcase that we can host these kinds of events.
Is Dayton hosting the play-in games for this? Do we know that to be the case?
Honey, I'm kind of punchy this morning. I've been up for a very long time, so
I don't have a
witty reply.
You mentioned being a potential training site, and that'd be great, but we want games, we know that. But the fact that there is a Sporting Kansas City, obviously, facility, they have a massive, terrific new practice facility, those mm-hmm. things would have to factor in, right, to making it a viable place to train and then have a game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there will be 48 teams playing in this. And so when you think about all we have to offer, each city had to propose three or four training sites. So we didn't just put forward Pinnacle with Sporting KC. We put together other training sites, even as far out as Columbia and the University of Missouri campus. So, you know, think about that. We've got to find training facilities for 48 teams across our three countries. So there are lots of opportunities, and when fans from all over the world come into North America, we're so centrally located. You know, you think about Visit KC and exposing our city to fans across the world, being able to get in and out of Kansas City and get to Chicago or to LA and then come back here. There's just so many opportunities, potential with this. I'm beyond excited about what this means.
Odds they'll start construction on the new airport by 2026.
Odds that the airport is done are very high by 2026.
I would hope so. Now, I'm looking at this map, and I see Boston, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., all on that I-95 East Coast corridor. Do we really need games in all of those cities like that are so close together? And even Orlando, Miami, and Dallas, and Houston being so close together, and heck, even Nashville and Atlanta. Right. It seems like there's a lot of cities that are grouped so close together that don't all need games.
I agree. But I don't get necessarily a vote, but I couldn't agree more. And when you think about our location again, yes, you're right. There's a lot of opportunity because they have a group of East Coast cities and then, of course, Texas and Florida. So, yes, we are hoping that they spread the love with this. And, again, no matter what happens, I continue to share that this is a positive for Kansas City. And, you know, the epitome would be to host a match. But there are so many great things that come with this, and to get this across the finish line today is a huge success. And yes, we did toast with donuts and champagne.
Very nicely done. All right, before we let you go, when you're in front of FIFA or whoever you got to be in front of and you're selling Kansas City, what's the number one thing you want them to take away from Kansas City?
oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot here. For us, when you think about our venues, and again, the location, you know, Wall Avenue Airport, there's really not a one thing, and that's what's so great about our city, being the soccer capital of the world and our fans. There's not one thing that I would tell you is our biggest item we're pushing forward, because when you think about our vision, there's so many things that come with that. So apologies, I'm not answering your question directly, but I don't know that I would pinpoint just one thing that makes our city unique.
Well, I apologize because I lied. I do have one more for you. You said four training sites, you obviously Sporting, and you mentioned Columbia. What are the other two?
We actually put forward quite a few different opportunities. One was Park University. I can't list them all right now. I'm a little sleepy, but we have so many different great facilities. I think we even went out as far as Manhattan, Kansas, and K-State and their campus and opportunities, just being able to showcase that when you think about Kansas City, there's so many different options here. But, of course, Sporting KC and Pinnacle being the highlight of all that.
No doubt about it. Well done as always, Kathy. We're looking forward to seeing how this whole thing plays out in the next 4 years or 2 years to see what we get,
whatever
obviously.
Whatever we can do to lobby.
And whatever, if you need us to scratch a check to FIFA, we're all about that.
Funny.
Congratulations. Get some sleep. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye. Kathy Nelson, president of the Sports Commission here on 610 Sports Radio. And it, like we said, we'll start a GoFundMe if it means something. But, okay, so here's the information now that you're not getting anywhere else. All of these cities are involved. Now, do we get a game? Are we a training site? Are we a place for a media compound, whatever it was? Is it going to be some preliminary games? Like, what is going to be the gist of what we get here in Kansas City? Obviously, we want a game.
Yes.
You know,
we want Arrowhead Stadium to host a game.
Right, and I think we should. Because, I tell Kathy, I'm looking at this map, and really, Josh, you got Montreal, Boston, Toronto, New York, New Jersey, which is one, Philly, Baltimore, D.C., Nashville, and Atlanta, Orlando. Like, they're all grouped together, man. It's crazy.
We'll talk more about this on the other side. Kansas City in the mix. Not quite there yet.
And there's a public party tonight at no other pub. The public is invited to join Kansas City's bid down there at 5:30 tonight and celebrate with the rest of the bid committee here in Kansas City. So 5:30 at no other pub if you're interested in celebrating tonight.
And a press conference out at Arrowhead coming up at 10. We'll have it for you live here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll talk more about the U.S. winning the bid with Canada and Mexico and its impact on Kansas City coming up. Andrew and Lawrence, your winner of tickets today. It was Bob's favorite song, actually. Today.
Living La Vida Loca.
There it was. Another chance tomorrow at 7:20. The U.S. wins. Hopefully, KC will soon, too. More coming up next.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on a Wednesday, Ned Yost joining us at 9 o'clock. Our weekly visit with the Royal Skipper. Big news today for the United States, part of the World Cup bid in 2026. They will be hosting the World Cup along with Canada and Mexico. Kansas City has a chance, one of 23 cities listed on the final bid for the United States. It's up to FIFA to decide then which cities will be hosting games. But as Kathy Nelson, the Sports Commission, told us in the last segment, there will be an opportunity to be involved somehow, some way. Obviously, the number one thing would be to be involved with games, but the facilities that are in the Kansas City area make it a viable training ground as well. I'd mentioned the Pinnacle, which is the facility Sporting KC trains at, built exclusively to host not only Sporting KC, but also the U.S. national team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an automatic venue. Like,
right.
You need that's exactly what the SIG was built for. So, but certainly that would make Kansas City an option. You could use Children's Mercy Park, which would not be hosting games, but you could use that as a training facility as well. So I think some options there to make it certainly a viable. And then Arrowhead Stadium, perfect. Like the seating, it's a perfect venue to host a World Cup game. So Kansas City's got a lot going for it.
Let me ask you this, because you're more of the soccer guy than I am on this one, and obviously we're all like learning together on what this bid meant, and I don't think anybody ever knew exactly what being a host city, quote-unquote, entailed until Kathy came on and told us here on 610 Sports Radio about what it entails. But does part of you, I think part of me is a little concerned, and Ryan, I want to bring you in on this as well. How concerned, how frustrated maybe are you, or not maybe frustrated is not the right word to use, but just in the back of your mind going, wow, we've got a world-class training facility here. They may want to use that as the training facility instead of giving us games in Kansas City. So because we have some of the best, if not the best, training facility in the United States, I'm looking at that going, boy, I hope they don't take that for granted and they just want to use that facility and they don't want to give us a game here. I think you know, we are, when you look at the map of the United States and where all of these cities are in Mexico and Canada as well, obviously, the central location factors in. I don't mind that. But we don't need games between Boston and Washington, D.C., which is a rough 6 to 7 hour drive between D.C. and Boston. We don't need five different sites, bang, 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 all hosting cities. What I would do if I were them and I was picking, which I'm not, but I would put New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and D.C., kind of as the host cities, because I think with Philadelphia being in the mix, we talked about it yesterday, it's going to be the 250th anniversary, 250th birthday of the United States of America. You want Philadelphia involved in that some way, somehow. So I would do D.C., Philly, New York, and I would use Baltimore more as a training ground and kind of a hub, if you will, where you can reach all three of those cities and you can get to Toronto quick. And even with Boston, I would kind of I don't know, I'd make Boston, so I don't like Boston, they can rot, but I would move them out. I wouldn't worry too much about them. I would only choose one place in Florida to host games. I would only choose one place in Texas in which to host games, and I would only choose one place in California to host those games, and it would be Los Angeles. So I think we got a lot of things going in our favor. I like to think we're going to get a game, but the training facility at Sporting Park, like, man, that thing is so good, they just may want to use that here to get the athletes ready to participate. But if you're going to have a great training facility here, why not have games here as well so they can train and use the great facilities we have here and then go 5 minutes down the road and play a game instead of having them travel somewhere else and play a game? So yeah, I mean, maybe it works that way. I don't know.
It's built to host multiple teams too, which is...
Yeah.
Which is good and bad.
Like, the forethinking that Sporting Kansas City has on life is unbelievable. I mean, like seriously, think about that. When they were building that facility, Josh, in their minds, they knew this would be a great way to help potentially down the road bring maybe the World Cup, maybe a big-time tournament. But if you got a facility that you – how many teams is it housed to hold?
The practice facility? Yeah. At least a couple. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like multiple locker rooms. Obviously, Sporting has a part of it, but then it's like USA branded,
right?
It, like the exact same portion, like another locker room that's USA branded, like US team. Here it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? One of those types of things. So I mean, it's already like set up to host multiple teams, which does make it viable for a practice facility. I think coming off though, guys, of what the NFL has done to us, yeah, I feel a little jaded.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it does feel like one of those, like, we scratch your back, you scratch ours situations. But you also have to understand, like, we're going to have to learn the value of sharing here. They're going to have to share the sugar all over not only the U.S., but Canada and Mexico as well. This wasn't just U.S.'s bid.
Right.
This was a three-country bid that locked in this World Cup. So you're going to have to look at host cities outside of America as well. And if that means that we don't get one, like, I hope Kansas City gets one. But even if they have something associated with the World Cup here, it still builds that audience here in Kansas City.
And as Kathy said in our interview, and you can check that out at the podcast page, and we'll play some cuts back from it a little bit later on in the show, she talks about we're back, baby. Like we are officially back on the map as one of the great sports cities, not just in America anymore, but now one of the great sports cities in North America with the potential to be one of the great sports cities in the world based on what happens with the World Cup. And then if teams are coming here and people see, wow, look at what Kansas City did. Oh, my God, the way that they hosted and the way that they acted. I mean, we just got more cachet than we've ever had as a sports town by being part of this bid and being one of the cities that the World Cup has chosen to host its events.
I would like to think, too, Chicago not being on the list is helpful.
Yeah, I think so,
like
too.
Like, if you're looking
sure.
for, like, a middle of the country, Chicago would always get picked. They're not on this list.
That's kind of where I fell on this one, too, is I'm like, man, all of these major markets are going to get this before us, right?
Well, if you're looking for middle of the country.
But Chicago's not part of it. Minneapolis is not part of it. St. Louis is not part of it.
If you're looking to have, you know, obviously East L.A., New York.
Done.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Dallas.
Understand.
Gotcha.
But middle?
Yeah.
There's no Chicago. I'm like, okay, maybe we got a shot at this.
But seriously, I mean, when you look at this map, and Denver, I mean, I hate saying this because you got Mexico City and Guadalajara and Monterey as well, but Denver's at altitude. You don't want those athletes up there in that kind of altitude. But if you look at L.A. and New York as locks to get games, and so is Dallas, everything else is coastal. Even the Canadian bids. You got Montreal and Toronto, which are East Coast. You got Edmonton, which is basically a West Coast town. And then you've got Monterey, Guadalajara, Mexico City, which are way down south. There's nothing in the middle that could be used as a home base hub for this entire thing like Kansas City can.
It makes a lot of sense.
I think Kansas City kills a couple of birds with a few stones here with the ability to have the training sites and the ability to host games. Nobody has a training facility like we have, and nobody's going to have an atmosphere at Arrowhead Stadium like we're going to have for this.
A newer member of the Chiefs sheds some light on what's up. And your chance at pizza. You know the play of the game from Verd's post game yesterday. 913-576-7610. Next.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the Morning, powered by the J. The Bob Hamilton Plumbing, Heating, AC, Router, and Electrical play of the game.
All right, if you listen to Verd's post game show, and you should, he gives you a play of the game after each and every game. The next day at 7:45, we'll ask you to tell us a player involved in the play of the game. And you'll have a shot to win a $25 gift card courtesy of Topper's Pizza, locations in Mission and Lawrence. Darren and Baser is today's contestant. Darren, tell us a player involved in last night's play of the game.
Yeah, I want to go with Hunter Dozier's home run, but instead I'm going to choose Almonte's put out at home.
We're going to go with your first selection. We have to take your first selection.
Well hit deep left field by Dozier. Back goes Winker to the wall and gone. Hunter Dozier, 1-0 KC.
Darren tried to overthink himself, but we're going to rein him back in. Hunter Dozier is the correct answer.
It was steady long, steady wrong, Darren.
That's yeah. Right. It was a hell of a throw, though, by Almonte last night in center field. I mean, that guy got under it, and boom, he threw a strike to Salvi at the plate. And again, as we're fretting, if you will, over the records, at least some people are fretting over the record of the Royals, watch players make good plays. Watch guys who could potentially be part of that 2020 lineup. Do you want me to go through that? I've got it right here if you want me to go through that, Josh.
That's exclusive and trademarked. Okay. It's still pending.
Can't go through that yet.
Not quite yet.
But Almonte with that throw, that was a money throw, man. That was nails.
So you're working from the full windup in a high fly ball center field, medium catch made. Almonte, runner at third, tags. Here he comes home. The throw is there to get him. Almonte to Perez. So Jeanette shot down at home, two walks, a single, but the Royals have now turned two double plays in as many innings.
Jeanette Clipperton lived in the town that I grew up in.
What was their occupation?
I don't know what she did, but she had really like Jersey 80s hair.
It's fantastic.
Her husband was, what was her husband's name? Jeanette and, I want to say Bob, but I don't think it was. Gary Clipperton. Jeanette and Gary.
Yeah. Fine folks, yep. Clippertons. People are still running on the Royals, huh?
It doesn't matter who's out there. Don't run on them.
Stop it. So Darren tried to overthink himself, but he's going to win a $25 gift card courtesy of Topper's Pizza, locations in Mission and Lawrence. That's the Bob Hamilton Plumbing, Heating, AC, Router, and Electrical play of the game. Be listening to Vern's post-game show tonight. We'll give you another play of the game. Tomorrow at 7:45, your chance to win once again. Well, one of the newer members of the Chiefs spoke yesterday, and a guy that we're going to be counting on a bunch who wasn't as counted upon at his previous team, it'd be Kendall Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
Regarded as one of the top slot corners in the NFL ago. Slot.
Oh, slot. I'm sorry.
Now will be called upon for a bigger role here with the Chiefs, of course, and his thoughts on what the secondary is capable of.
I think it's going to be fun. You know, I think we just got a lot of guys who I don't think we have really anybody in our secondary that's comfortable, you know, who kind of feel like I'm good. Everybody's hungry. When we came in here, you know, the best thing we can do is compete against each other. You know, we working to get each other better. Never, it's nothing selfish about it. You know, I'm going to help you. You're going to help me. And we're just going to help to get each other better. Because we're going to need each other on Sundays.
Now, you can take that one of two ways. We have a bunch of guys in the secondary that aren't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound good on the surface.
No.
But I believe he's saying
I'm glad he cleaned that up quick.
pushing each other so that there's a whole bunch of guys competing. But to say we got a bunch of guys back that aren't comfortable first made me go, whoa.
Well, how could you be comfortable, though? Like, everybody in the secondary is new. Except for Eric Berry, and he's coming back
Steven
off.
Nelson. Steven Nelson.
Achilles. Okay.
He may be called upon for a different role, too. Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? But, like, everybody's going to be doing something different out there in the secondary this year. So I would expect here we are in June, and we're at the end of this, whatever that they're doing out there this week, and they're going to take some time off before they get to training camp. How could you be comfortable right now? I wouldn't expect any of these guys to be comfortable. I wouldn't expect any of these guys to be ready to rock and roll and to be proficient on what they need to do in this defense. It takes time, and that's why I've said all along, this is a 32-game stretch. It's not a 16-game stretch this year and a 16-game stretch next year. No, it's a 32-game stretch because I think with a lot of the new faces, just in the secondary alone that the Kansas City Chiefs are bringing in, I think it's going to be very difficult to grasp that system and be proficient on that system. The teams that are the best are the teams that don't have a lot of turnover, have a lot of the guys that remain the same, that know the system, that keep learning the system and perfecting that system. So it's going to take a little bit of time. So he's saying a lot of guys are uncomfortable in the secondary. That's fine. I would expect him to be a little bit uncomfortable at this point in time.
But I think he referred to it more in the competing.
I think it's going to be fun. You know, I think we just got a lot of guys who – I don't think we have really anybody in our secondary that's comfortable, you know, who kind of feel like I'm good. Everybody's hungry. When we came in here, you know, the best thing we can do is compete against each other. You know, we working to get each other better. Never, it's nothing selfish about it. You know, I'm going to help you. You're going to help me. And we're just going to help to get each other better because we're going to need each other on Sundays.
I mean, we're all hungry is what I'm taking away from that. We're all trying to get better. Nobody is comfortable with where we're at.
Yeah. Squat.
Oh, I just, at this stage of the game.
It worries you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I'm a little bit concerned.
Again, it's a 32-game season. Don't worry.
There's 16 games coming up this year. I'm pretty concerned about it.
No, be worried. If he's saying that at this time next year, well, then we got something we need to be concerned about.
What does C-Dot always say? Give it the say it out loud test.
Yeah.
Let's just say it out loud. David Amerson is your number one corner.
Right.
How's that make you feel?
Not good.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, not good.
I don't.
Not good.
Especially
that's
when
again.
I saw him in the he was in the video for Tyreek Hill being in the NFL top 100.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how fast he was, and there was like video of
how Tyreek Hill running consistently past him. Beat him.
Like, well, but now he's so on Tyreek Hill's team, so he doesn't have to worry about getting beat by Tyreek Hill. You gotta find a silver.
You remember
those
videos that Sammy Watkins put up and then deleted?
Yeah.
David Amerson. Getting burnt like toast on those videos.
Those are a little scary.
Many people believe that the Chiefs asked him to pull them. I personally believe that David Amerson's like, bro, can you get those off of social media?
David Amerson scratched a check so he could get those off of social media so he didn't have to see them. So, no, again, 32-game season. Let's reevaluate where we are in January of 2020. If this team hasn't made strides and they're not playing good defense by January of 2020, then obviously we have issues.
You keep telling me that. I'm looking at St. Joe, man.
No, man, don't kill yourself with that kind of stuff. This is going to be a fun season to just let it fly and see what happens.
You can't replay a play that could use a second look? Oh, yeah, we're all a little bit baffled. Next.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.